When we think of the pain points of a procurement process, a few things come to mind. It is painfully slow, it is tedious, and often lacks transparency. Recognizing this problem, Dinesh Kumar and a group of friends started a B2B procurement platform called La Parsa that makes the entire procurement process fair, transparent, and simple. Joining me on the show today is a B2B procurement platform. It is called La Parsa, and the CEO and co-founder, Dinesh Kumar, is here with me. Thank you, Dinesh, for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, I'd like to start off, talk to you about the story of La Parsa and how you became a founder. You mentioned that it started as a something that was based on your personal experience. In fact, quite a painful personal experience. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. So I started off my journey in entrepreneurship when I was 22. I was still in uni, doing my second year degree. And by chance, I got into this medical device distribution business. And that business was a typical trading business. So it was about whether your product was good, was it at a good price, are you able to serve the customers well. So we started off in the private industry, so serving clinics and hospitals, very basic sort of medical devices. And I managed to grow that business. By the time I graduated, I made a decision that this is what I want to do, right? I want to be in business, not necessarily medical device, but I wanted to be in business. So I went on. I ran that company up till 2017. I managed to grow the sales, grow the numbers, grow the team. Grew the product line, typical distribution business, you got to grow the product line and all that. Now in 2016, sales started declining a little bit due to many reasons. Things like regulations became tighter in the medical device industry. GST was about to be introduced, stuff like that, right? So clinic sales typically declined during that period of time. So we needed to find ways to really grow the business and find ways to get the numbers up again. And oil and gas particularly was also on the decline during that time. So I was selling a lot to the oil and gas industry. So then we thought, okay, the only way to get out of this is to join bigger deals, right? So whether it's tender for corporates or whatever it may be, let's join bigger deals. And then I quickly found out in the most painful way manner that it was more about who you knew, what you're willing to give them rather than what you're able to do as a company or as a business. So through that frustration is where we came up with this concept where we looked at Lazada and Shopee, right? It was on the rise that time. And how you and me made purchase decisions on platforms like this were very merit-based. So we were only going to buy things that were beneficial to us at the best possible price. Corporates, on the other hand, or any larger organization or government organizations, purchase decisions were made very differently. So we thought, could we create a platform that connects buyers and sellers? In this case, we thought, let's start with corporates. Let's not go for big guns, right? Like the government. Let's start with the corporates. Let's see if we can get them to buy on a platform like Lazada and Shopee. So that's where the concept started. It was a huge sort of hurdle to pass, right? Like I was going around telling people that I'm going to change the way corporates are going to buy. So it's a very big concept to understand and execute. We didn't know what we were getting ourselves
into.
What
were the initial reactions when you went to corporates telling, hey, I have this software, this process that could simplify the way you procure your supplies? What did they say?
I think it was shocking. Okay, now, our background was selling to clinics and hospitals. Whenever we visited clinics, we were very used to this concept of doctors not treating us the best way possible, right? We were made to sit outside for hours and stuff like that. Now, when we came up with this concept, we built a very simple minimum viable product, right? MVP. We built it on Wix, which is very simple, just to show them the flow. And we said, look, we want to present a free procurement platform. And you know, we were so surprised, every 10 calls we made to corporates, we probably got about 5 appointments. So it was actually quite shocking that so many people were open to it.
So if they were experiencing these pain points, right?
Exactly.
Like it's tedious and lack of transparency. Yeah. And how did you get them on board being such a fairly new company, Plus, you were in the medical devices industry and to pivot into e-procurement.
No relation at all, right? I'm just a guy who saw an opportunity, and I think we were talking about e-procurement at the right time when the industry was ready for it. Thanks to Lazada and Shopee, right? We had this concept, let's create a marketplace, I'm going to make it easier. We brought it to the corporates. A lot of them said, look, fantastic, what you're doing is good, right? But it's not what we need. So what was important during that period of time was it was important for us to make more calls, meet more corporates, and really understand what is it that they actually need. Build a product that the market needs, right? And we did that over and over and over again. 6 months into the process, we knew exactly what the market needed.
Were their pain points?
So their pain points were basic. Okay, this is from the corporate point of view. Yeah? To make a purchase, say a box of pen or a chair, a simple chair or a light or a fan, it easily took them 3 to 7 days. So the process is typically, I've got to release a purchase requisition or a purchase request.
Right.
I need an approval on the purchase request. I've got to go out and source through what we call a request for quotation process, and then get an approval on that, and then release the PO, and the rest, the PO and all comes. Now, what we did was, we said, you don't need to do all of that. We're going to list all of your existing vendors on this platform, and you can immediately go onto this platform, look at products like Lazada and Shopee, and you can make your purchase immediately. So that was their main sort of pain point at that point. And they wanted to know who are better vendors out there. What are better prices I can get? Mm-hmm. And this is on the management level, right? So these were some of the things that were really important.
So basically bringing that e-commerce-like experience into corporate procurement, right?
Yeah.
Now, while you said that it took a bit of convincing to get them on board initially, right now you have convinced close to 30 major corporations, GLCs, and about 700 SMEs on your platform. What was the inflection point for these businesses? What changed their mind to get onto this platform, really?
Okay, to be really honest about it, when we first launched, there were two reasons why it actually took off, and then there's a reason why there was an inflection point. The reason it took off was we were very sure that we are not going to be able to charge people upfront for the platform to use the platform, right? Because it's a new company, it's not proven. It has to be free, number one. That's how we got our break. Number two, we needed to solve their pain points. So we were very sure about these things. But where it really took off for us is when Telecom Malaysia, who is the first client who actually said yes to us, when they used it and we actually created results there and we could put it on a proper study that says that, look, this is the results I've created, this is the procure to purchase, purchase to pay time that I've reduced, and we took that out and we presented it to more GLCs. The second one said yes, which is Tenaga Nasional. After Tenaga Nasional came on board and the same results were created, then it just took off, right? People just started speaking about us, the procurement circle of the GLCs knew us, and then MNCs started hearing about us. So it was more referral.
So instead of knocking on doors, people are coming to you.
At that point, yes, the referrals were made, but we are still going and convincing them, of course.
Okay. Now, I'd like to talk about the issue of governance in procurement, right? Yeah. Tender practices in the public sector and also GLCs. Lack of transparency in the system opens up to a lot of things like misconduct and corruption, right? How does a platform like LaPasa manage or help prevent these indiscretions?
Okay. So let's make one thing very clear first. There's two types of purchases. There is what we call the direct spend and the indirect spend, or tail end spend, right? Indirect spend are the lower value purchases. It's usually not directly involved with a business revenue. So for instance, if you're a furniture manufacturer, your direct spend would be wood. Your indirect spend, on the other hand, would be like safety shoes or chairs or office supplies and stuff like that, right? For us, we never touch direct spend because it is core to their business. They know how to purchase those things better than anybody else. So it does not make sense for a technology to go in and say, I can do this better for you. Not at this point, at least. So we were very clear from the start, we are going to be in the indirect spend space. Now, when we talk about transparency issues, most of the transparency issues happens in direct spend. Most of the transparency issues. There are some transparency issues in tail end spend, but very minimal. So because the purchase per purchase value are usually less than 20,000 ringgit per purchase in indirect spend, the usual transparency issues are, I know this vendor, therefore I'm going to continuously buy from this vendor. No matter how good your prices are, no matter how good your service is, I'm not going to change vendor. So how we solve it is, we very clearly put this comparison side by side because it is a digital platform. So if you're buying screwdrivers or safety shoes, for instance, I'm very able, very clearly able to show you this particular vendor has the lowest price in the market and he or she is able to deliver within a day compared to this vendor who you're always buying from.
So it's really opened up that accessibility exactly. to even like small time suppliers.
Exactly. Now, if you make a choice other than the best possible choice, transparency kicks in when your superiors or other people in the company are able to see your decision and you're held accountable for it, basically.
Okay.
So that's how technology helps.
Let's talk about onboarding like suppliers, right? And what are some of the challenges? Because a lot of these companies, especially the mom and pop stores, they are still very much brick and mortar, right? And going online is perhaps not in their first nature or their...
Right.
So how do you get them on board?
Right. So we started with the corporates, now we are onboarding SMEs to come on board and procure online. So like you said, mom and pop stores is one of our new lines of business, so our wholesale business, right? We are getting them to come on board and purchase FMCG goods like Nestle, FNN, Red Bull online through a mobile application. People would assume that it's a tough place or tough industry to penetrate with digital solutions, but the approach we took was get the fundamentals right. What are the fundamentals from a mom and pop shop? Price, service, trust. These are the three fundamentals. If I get the price right, which means the mom and the grocery store can earn higher margins, mm-hmm. therefore when I get the price right and I'm putting in a digital solution and I'm saying order through the digital solution because the price is right, then becomes way easier. So to them, in their mind, digital solutions to order is just a channel of ordering. It's similar to them writing on paper or doing it through WhatsApp. It's the same thing. But what we are able to do as an organization or a solution is to make it scalable, doing it digitally. Because I don't need to walk in 10 times a month to get reorders. I can do it through the app. So it takes education to get them onto this platform with the right fundamentals in order for La Pasa as a company to become scalable.
So there's two portions here. One is the e-procurement platform.
Exactly.
The other one is a marketplace.
Yep.
For suppliers, correct?
Yes.
At what point did you realize that these two could go hand in hand for La Pasa?
It's about completing the supply chain. So when we realized this is during the MCO, actually. That's exactly when we realized it. So we started off connecting resellers, traders, retailers to corporates. That's where we started. Pure platform play. During the MCO, when people wanted to sell masks, sanitizers, thermometers, and it was an opportunity, right, to sell and actually make money for the smaller guys. They couldn't get supply. Now, what we were able to do as La Pasa, as the company, we had built massive network of products over the years. So we were able to immediately start connecting them to the sources of masks, the importers, the wholesalers, the brand owners of masks, thermometers, sanitizers, so on and so forth. So they started buying from the platform, from these top-tier distributors and whatnot. That's where we started realizing, look, this could be a massive opportunity for us and the growth trajectory is going to be much faster than the corporate business.
I'd like to take a step back to talk about, you mentioned the pandemic, right? COVID-19 and the lockdown. The COVID-19 has really been a wake-up call for businesses in the sense that they need to re-evaluate their supply chain and they need business continuity, even if you're not physically there to do the work. Could you describe how has the pandemic impacted La Pasa and has it been positive or negative for you?
I think for us it has been very, very positive. Because if you look at, let's look at it from the corporate angle. It was always a nice to have solution, right? And when the pandemic hit, it became a must have solution because people needed this kind of platform to make purchases remotely for their companies or whatever, right? So for us, because of that, many corporates or many SMEs that refuse to work with us, whether as a buyer or a seller previously, all of a sudden adoption rate skyrocketed.
Can you give us a number?
So I can give you numbers in terms of onboarding of corporates. Yeah, there were, we always have a list of our pipeline that we are unable to convert. It's like we are never happy that we cannot convert these people. So we had about 72 companies in that list.
That wish list,
right? So what would have usually taken us years to do, convert this any number out of the 72, we were able to do in 3 months. We were able to convert about 23 or 24 of them to come online to procure through the platform. So, and these are large corporates, right? And you can imagine what impact it has on the numbers as well for us. So we did really, really well during the pandemic, but we are also very careful to know that it might be a temporary effect as well. So we're very careful with how we're handling this growth as well.
Right. So for the wholesale side, pre and post lockdown, how has it been different for La Pasa?
Okay. So when during the lockdown period, the wholesale marketplace was purely for COVID items, right? It was purely started because of that. It really took off because of that. But post COVID, we knew that COVID items, hopefully, is temporary. And we thought we need something more long lasting, something more sustainable, right? And we looked at the market and we looked at the region, and a lot of tech startups were getting into B2B marketplaces for FMCG products, which was quite an interesting trend, right? And we studied the market deeper and we understood why. Because it is a hugely fragmented industry with a lot of pain points. So you look at how mom and pop shops are buying today. They would go out, drive out to the nearest wholesaler, scout for the best possible price, buy back these items physically and come back to their stores to sell. What we are doing is we are going to them and we are saying, look, these are the best prices in the FMCG market right now, and we will deliver to your doorstep. So it's solving a lot of pain points.
Now, this wholesale portion is asset heavy, right?
It is.
It is asset heavy.
Yes.
And cost intensive, right?
Yes.
This doesn't gel with your initial
yes.
idea, the vision, which is to be involved in procurement. So tell us about those plans. Is it temporary or what's next for you?
Right. Very good question. So it is asset heavy. It goes against every thesis of building a tech company, right? Which is to buy stock, to have a warehouse space, to have lorries and distributing this stuff. It's a very traditional sort of setup. However, we are more than willing to make this investment, because if we continuously give these retailers or resellers who are buying from us under wholesale very good prices, give them a digital solution that's easy to use and deliver on time, meaning maintain the service levels, what I'm going to be able to do in the next 24 months is onboard anywhere between 6,000 to 8,000 retailers or resellers who are actively buying on the platform. Now, if I do that, then using that access to market tool, I can then onboard second and third tier FMCG brands. And FMCG is huge, right? It's not only food, it's electronics, it's self-care products, it's so many things. We are able to push brands directly into the market through the platform. Therefore, I don't need to store items or pay for the logistics. They would pay for it. The brands or the top tier distributors would pay for it. I'm just giving them access to market. So it's the same thing. We are just starting with a different kind of investment, ending up at a platform play anyways.
What is the time frame that you have in mind?
Now, that's a long game, right? In the next 24 months, we do believe that at least 30-40% of our wholesale transaction would be under that basis, meaning mm-hmm. brands are just using us for market access. I think it will be easily a 4 to 5 year timeline.
Right. Now, La Pasa operates nationwide, but your base of suppliers are mainly still in the Klang Valley, from what I understand, from what I've read about you. Well, help us understand then the situation right now, you know, to grow, to scale, and to really have a presence in each part of the country, every part of the country.
So the wholesale business is primarily still here, but the corporate business, we actually do have vendors nationwide, up to Sabah and Sarawak. But it's still concentrated very much in KL and Selangor. So for us, for a B2B company, it's slightly different from B2C companies, meaning consumer companies. I think for consumer companies, the focus is always reach as far as you can, as much as you can, right? Because it's absolutely necessary for a consumer-based business. For a B2B business, we have the luxury of being a bit more focused in that sense. Mm-hmm. So we don't need to spend too much money to reach too many people. So for instance, if I'm launching, say, a new category on my marketplace, which is safety equipment, mm-hmm. then I would go and only approach or spend marketing money or spend manpower cost in areas that I have in manufacturing, for instance. So I have that luxury. So our plan is never to bombard the entire country, but really be focused about where you want to pick your battles.
So what are the industries that you're seeing has more potential at the moment, like industries or sectors that you may expand into?
So that's a tricky question given where we are at as a company, right? So obviously we see a lot of potential in the FMCG space. Traditionally, people know it's not a high margin industry, but it is an industry that has not been digitized in any way in Malaysia. It's not being done in a big way, right? Therefore, there's a lot of opportunities to build services on top of an FMCG environment. So we think there's a lot of potential in that area. I'll give you an example. If I have 6,000 retailers on my app purchasing on a daily basis, and I know what they're buying, I know their payment patterns, I can then launch a financial service business on top of it, right? So it's about building an ecosystem and building on top of it. That's an opportunity. On the corporate side, I think in terms of category, it would be quite hard for me to answer that. We are very demand driven. So say you are a large corporate, you want to come on board, you want to buy out of 6 categories that I have. We have things like safety equipment, tools, office supplies, electronics and so on. But you want to expand to something new. Maybe you want to buy, I don't know, textiles. Then we would just take your demand. We will onboard your vendor first and foremost. And then we will expand from there if we see the opportunity.
Where do you intend to bring La Pasa to next? And how do you envision the company in a few years' time? I mean, this last 12 months alone, you have pivoted quite a bit into, you know, wholesale and being a supplier. What's next for you guys?
Right. So in terms of pivoting, we are aware we are building a different line of business here, but the goal is the same. From the very beginning, what we wanted to be is a B2B marketplace. We are still a B2B marketplace. In the next 5 years, we will still be a B2B marketplace. But really, the vision for the company is to become a supply chain enabler, right? Mm-hmm. From day one of the company, we wanted to connect the dots end to end, right? That means from manufacturer right down to end user. End user could be consumers, could be companies, businesses, right? But we never wanted to touch the consumer side. We wanted to connect end to end from manufacturer down to businesses, consumers or businesses. So we made a very conscious decision to start off by connecting that end of the supply chain first, which means connecting the business to the suppliers. And then we thought, let's go this way now. Let's start connecting the suppliers to the manufacturers. That's what we're doing right now, or top tier distributors. So we want to sort of enable this whole ecosystem with a network of logistic capabilities, so meaning warehouses, vehicles. So when I say market access, if you're a brand, you want to go to market overnight, I'm not only able to put you on my platform, I'm able to also deliver your things, I'm able to store your things, I'm also able to give you financial support to grow your business. So that's sort of the vision we had from day one. That's absolutely what we're still working on.
So if I could put it, summarize what you're saying, it's almost like a Grab, but for B2B marketplace.
Exactly. I get more like Alibaba.
Okay, Alibaba.
Yeah.
Okay, just a couple more questions. I'd like to ask you about, you know, your personal journey, right?
Yeah.
And starting this at a very young age and really pursuing your passion. What are some of the lessons that you have learned throughout the years? You know, in line, also we're looking at what has happened with the pandemic and how you've pivoted so fast. If you could share some of your experience and advice.
I think throughout the journey is tough question. So many lessons, right? But one of the most important one that I've learned, I'm still learning from mentors or through my experience itself, is to never assume. Mm-hmm. I think I have made a lot of assumptions, and it's a very tough thing to stick to, right? Every day we are assuming something will happen or this is the best thing to do. I think the easiest way to do it is ask the clients, ask the staff, ask, and it makes it much, much easier. think that was a very important lesson, and take every opportunity. So sometimes some people would approach me and would propose something that does not seem very important at that point, but I would still take that meeting, and that has actually led to a lot of important things for us as a company. For instance, funding, or business onboarding a large client itself, all came through very unassuming meetings. So those are some of the very important lessons that I've learned as an individual.
But what? How about the pandemic? And what are some of the decisions that you had to make? I trust that you had to really make the decision fast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And really, did you have to make tough decisions to cut cost cuts, yeah, layoffs?
Yeah, we did. We did have to make tough decisions and really quick, like you said. Usually these things are handled with a lot of care and amicably, right? But we didn't really have the luxury to do it at that time. So what we did was we didn't lay off anybody. We said, be prepared for a salary cut. That's what we did. We prepared people first. And we said, we're going to execute in the next 1 month or something like that, right? But then the next decision we made was to counter that. And we said, look, we have put that in place. The team has agreed to it. Good. But what can we do to make sure the situation is good? So we made another conscious decision where we got into the COVID-related items and we started the wholesale business. And we sold everything at a profit. Typically, tech companies don't think about profits.
Right, yeah.
At any point, right? Typically. But we were all about profit every day. That was the most important decision that we made. And I think it really changed the course for us as a company, how we think. You see, tech companies under good circumstances, we always think about growth, market grab. Growth at any cost, right? Now, we are thinking about growth at any cost, but doing it sustainably. So it's a huge mindset shift in all of us, actually.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dinesh, for sharing your experience. It's been great to have you on the show, and I wish you all the best with your plans, your growth plans.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You've been watching our One Year Review with me, Cynthia Ng. Till the next episode. See you.